It is not intimidating on my road right now. So, but I think it's just so unpredictable, and it's definitely bad in some areas. So we are on video, and it does allow us to a chance to be together, to share in the Word of God. We're also going to have communion this morning together, and we'll have a chance to have some discussion groups at the end of what I'm sharing on today. So I want to give a little bit of an overview of what's happening. In the month of January, typically it's kind of like a mini mester. It's a place where it's a discipleship skill or a significant topic for us to deal with that we give 4 or 5 weeks to. And this month, we are going to be on the topic of sexuality. And the reason for that is that we need to grow in maturity and understanding male and female. We need to grow in maturity and dealing with the conflict and the context of the world around us. And we need to be able to have difficult conversations that are constructive instead of fearful. And that requires having maturity and some character skills. And so this week, I am primarily talking about how to have the discussions that are difficult and how to stay in those conversations in a way that is constructive and deal with all the fears that are related to it. So I think there's a lot of reasons why we have a hard time having open conversations in our society right now. Maybe we feel like we don't understand our topic enough to get into it. Like I'm just afraid that I don't even understand this completely. Another one would be, gosh, I don't want to disagree because I don't want to lose this relationship. So I've got to be really careful what I say because I'm going to be walking on eggshells with everyone around me. Or I think at times I'm afraid that if I change my mind, I might step away from my faith in some way. There's some way that my faith is insecure as I'm talking about this subject. I don't know where the boundaries are. And so we want to move toward that, even with those fears, even with those concerns. And we want to do it because it is difficult. I think this next week, there's going to be a little bit more of an explanation in the communication in the newsletter to the church, but it's Brian is doing a short video. Because he, Brian, and I, and Christopher are going to be teaching this month. And I think that in the breadth of our three individual experiences that we will be able to somewhat cover subjects related to pornography, related to gender, and God's standards and all of these things. And so I think it's going to be encouraging, it'll be significant, and it will be honoring. We're not talking about other people's sin. We're mostly dealing with our own lives. And we're not trying to shame. We're trying to learn and to grow so that we can be healthy in our own understanding of who we are, as well as how we interact with the people in the world around us. So, now, here I'm gonna go to sharing my screen, and you'll get to see some of these things. I don't know if my face is in the screen any longer. But anyway, this is what I'm going to be sharing as we step into all this. And I recognize and receive Christopher's prayer as I step into this, that we'll have God's wisdom, which is peaceable. And so how do we get the ability to be mature in dealing with disagreement in difficult subjects? How do we step forward in this? We have to grow in character. So I love that challenge. I love the fact that we're stepping into something that is going to require greater character. And what is that? I just want to identify 3 points: humility, honor, and discernment and the fear of the Lord. So these are big subjects. If you're around me very much, I really love the subject of humility. I think it is a key in becoming like Jesus. And then we need to develop some skills, and that is the ability to embrace complexity and the ability to resolve conflict. So let's start. Humility is being like Jesus, okay? That's kind of a mic drop. Like, what else could you say if I say that? But we see in Philippians chapter 2 that what Jesus has done, and Paul is encouraging them, if you want to make me, the Apostle Paul, happy and agree with one another and love one another, then don't be self-centered. Don't be selfish. Don't spend your time trying to impress others. Don't enter into something with you're even thinking about what they think about you. This is maturity we're being called to, right? That we are able to interact with people in a way that puts them at the center. That's what humility is. And think of others as better than yourselves. This person has great value. So this is what Jesus did. Now, to do this, you, as we move into these conversations, it is understandable that you can have fear and anger reactions at times because of negative experiences that you've had in the past. So it's a matter of coming back to humility again. It's not, we're not having emotions, but it's being able to come back and be centered. In humility, you have to slow down. It's not about just like I'm trying to make my opinion known, but you're trying actually to listen, to hear others. And because you believe that they are valuable, they are significant. And that moves into the next point, that our goal, this character that we have, and maybe this falls into the skill category, but it's honor, receiving honor and giving honor. So in difficult discussions, our goal is not to win arguments, but rather to win people. And so the context of, you know, how do we get into all this? What is our position? I go back to Jesus' word in the Sermon on the Mount. You are the salt of the earth. This is something that may be difficult to hear at times. You are the light of the world. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. You are the light of the world. We're thinking, no, Jesus is the light of the world. No, he's speaking to us. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Don't stick your lamp under a basket. Don't move out into the desert and wait for Jesus to come back. Don't isolate yourself. Be the light of the world. This is how people are not going to meet Jesus unless they meet you, because you are the one that is reflecting who he is. So this ability to honor means you have to involve yourself. You have to initiate. And that honor is being able to see people as they are in the image of God. And I'll be talking about that next week. What does that mean to be in the image of God? And so we're commanded to do it. In 1 Peter, respect everyone. In Romans, honor one another above yourselves. So this is key, learning how to honor. And then this is another character quality. Maybe, again, to kind of mix these things with skills, I guess, as I look at it. But it's discernment and the fear of the Lord. So the comment that I have here is, be a Berean. In the book of Acts, in the 17th chapter, Paul is going through a number of different cities and preaching the gospel and establishing churches, and he meets one area, and they're the Berean people. And he says something amazing. Luke, in his writing, says they were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. And what did they do? They searched the scriptures day after day to see if what Paul and Silas were saying was really in line with the word. So during these teachings, I want you to go to the scripture and also to engage. If there's anything that I even have misspoken, there's times, many times, where I say something and I didn't clean it up. It was an accident. I misspoke. Or there's something that I say that I've been confusing on, or you don't understand, please come and talk to me. This month is a commitment to spend some energy. And I'm dragging Brian and Christopher into that. That if there's something that they say, then go to us. Be, engage, ask questions, dig in deeper. And that's what it requires. This is conversations. We need that in order to what the ability to deal with disagreements does is it enables us to have conversations. And that's what we're trying to get into, basically, is having deeper, healthier conversations. Then so we need to, this is the skill, to be able to embrace complexity. And this requires wisdom. Does anybody want to grow in wisdom? Do you want to grow in understanding? So the scripture that Christopher referenced as we were beginning was out of the book of James. And how do you know if someone is speaking God's wisdom? Well, he contrasts the wisdom of this world with the wisdom of God. And so we can see that bitter jealousy, selfish ambition causes something that is divisive. And the wisdom from God is first of all pure, peace-loving, gentle, willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. Now that doesn't, again, that doesn't ensure that we don't have conflict, but we're looking. We know that when we've fallen into jealousy and competition and bitterness, that there's something that we need to weed out. We need to dig deeper and find out what's really going on in our hearts and not run back in our corner and hide, but stay in the conversation, because we need to build deeper relationships with each other in the midst of a society that's growing in less and less trust. We have to learn how to trust God and trust each other. And that's not a matter of control. That's not, you know, only trust us and not anybody else. No, it's growing in a whole set of skills that I'm describing today. And this, so with the complexity that I'm talking about is requires an understanding that of dealing with things that don't seem to fit together. But, you know, it's the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. There's these places where we go, how does that work? Male and female. Wow. How does that work? These are complex things. And we don't have short little lists and a handful of comments where we can just make this all simple. We are in a society, we're in a world where we need depth and we need to be able to walk with complex subjects. And something that used to be this answer that you could put out there easily was hate the sin, love the sinner, but that's not sufficient anymore, whether it was ever sufficient, because we actually need to hate our own sin and not spend our time demonizing someone else. And if we hate our own sin, that it actually allows other people to grow in the hatred of evil instead of being accused. So that's complicated. How do we walk in this? And so that's going to be a part, I think, especially what Christopher is talking about, that we're understanding that these tensions and rather than being afraid of the complexity that and afraid of not having all the answers, that we actually step towards that. Then resolving conflict. I know this is everyone's favorite pastime. It's kind of, yeah, I don't have anything else to do. I think, who did I last have conflict with? Yeah, I think I'm going to give them a call. No, this is hard work. But this is critical to every marriage, every friendship, all of our closest relationships. We have to get to the other side. So the scripture has some simple steps in this. So it says, if your brother or sister sins. So your conflict with them is because you think they're wrong or doing something wrong. So you feel like they are sinning. And you're not off the hook by being a victim. You don't go, well, you know, they hurt me, they're wrong. Because the goal is to have a relationship. The goal is not to be right. And it's, you can be right and be nasty and mean. You can be right and be a horrible person to deal with on an emotional level. And so what we want to do is not only be right, but walk in life. And that when we're walking in life with Jesus, we are vulnerably pursuing close relationships and saying, I didn't understand you. I don't know what happened in the situation. Can we talk that through again? I think 90% of the time, people are going to say, oh, I didn't mean that. Or this is my perspective. And if you go to win the argument instead of going to build a relationship, you never get there. Because again, you're just trying to wrestle somebody down. So to resolve a conflict first requires this humility, it requires discernment, a commitment to what is true. You're not trying to compromise in the sense of, you know, truth doesn't matter, but you're going toward the conversation. And if you can't get through it, what if that says here in Matthew 18 is go get someone else that you both trust. I go get someone that the person that I'm in a conflict with, I say, who do you trust that we can bring into this conversation? And then there's a progression of this. It goes on and talks about church discipline. But there is a way to stay in the game, to continue to talk. And, you know, you might not be able to do this at Thanksgiving dinner, but we have to learn these skills in a community of followers of Jesus. You have to learn how to deal with problems and move forward. So, all right. Now, having put a lot of this out there, we want to move into some discussions. And we're going to, let me see, Richard is going to divide us up into small groups and introduce yourselves. There, you know, I don't care if you think everyone in the group already knows you. Go around and say your name. You might say, I think, is Christopher's sister in this video today? Trying to figure out who all, there may be someone here that is in the conversation. So let's not embarrass, I always need help. So introduce yourself to me again, even if we've met 1,000 times. Then pick one of the questions. And we have 15 minutes, so we're not going to be able to go through all these questions. We're just trying to again, move forward in our ability to have discussions. And give everyone a chance to respond. That means you can't dominate the conversation. If there are 5 people in the group, you shouldn't be talking more than 3 minutes. And then end in prayer. And encourage everyone to speak. You don't have to speak, but I want to say, you know, what you think, what you're experiencing, this is really important. And so here's our questions. What fears do you have about talking about this subject? And it'd be good for the group to pick one question. So y'all are responding on this one question. You know, if you get to the end of the conversation or you do this super rapidly in 5 minutes, then take a second question. But what good would come out of this series on sexuality? And I'm not telling you to just do the first question, then the second question, then the third question. You pick one of these questions. And what would it look like for you to have a good conversation with someone you disagree with in the church or outside of the church? So, Lord, we commit this time to you and thank you for the chance to interact. I pray that we'd be full of grace as we begin to interact on these subjects. In Jesus' name. All right, here we go.